Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you all so much for coming to the Dorchester Literary Festival. My name is Harry Mount, editor of the Aldi magazine. I'm the interviewer today. This is the 10th anniversary of the Dorchester Literary Festival. It's grown over the years thanks to sponsors and volunteers, and most importantly, you, the people who buy the tickets. So please do tell all your friends about us. Take brochures and keep coming. Our main sponsor is Albert Goodman Chartered Financial Partners, and our media partner is ourselves, the Aldi. I talk completely dispassionately, greatest magazine in the universe, and free copies of the magazine are around in the hall in the entrance. Help yourself. Finally, some housekeeping. If you hear a fire alarm, it won't be a rehearsal, so please make your way to the fire exits and follow the instructions of the staff who will direct you. Sorry, I should have said, as well as the Aldi magazine, the Aldi annual, starring Mary, but by some glitch, not Giles, is in the shops and available here now. Well, I've got the great pleasure of interviewing two Aldi columnists and friends, and I think they're the first two celebs since Sonny and Cher to be known only by their first names, Giles and Mary. Giles Wood and Mary Killen, and they've written an absolutely terrific book, Country Life, a story of peaks and troughs. And I've known Giles and Mary for quite a long time, and I can tell you an awful lot of things are made up on telly, we know that. One thing that is completely genuine is Mary's irritation with Giles. Would you say that's correct, Mary?
Yes, but more to the point, a rather sinister thing happens to me when I go to motorway service stations, which is a lot of women come up, they go, really love your husband, Giles. And then I say, oh, why? We love it when he annoys you. And this is why, though we can sit for 6 hours in harmony being filmed, if we have a spat for 2 minutes, that's the bit they'll show it.
And then they like it when we make up. Because it shows that there is a future for marriage in this country, despite the statistics.
I don't think he does do it on purpose. He's just hardwired to be annoying. For example, in the car, he said, will you give me a cough sweet? And I got one out. He said, put it on the back of my hand.
Yes.
Like that.
Yes, because that's because I'd been to a public toilet and I didn't want to get cholera. And because we live in broken Britain, there weren't any taps in the public toilet.
Wow. And in your brilliant book, I think, Mary, you say, as a couple, you're technically incompatible.
Yes.
You share a sense of humour and you share some friends, but otherwise you're very different. And Giles, you're essentially a countryman, aren't you?
I don't go out at all, because I get recognised when I go out, and I don't know what to say when I'm approached in the street. It doesn't come easily to me to be normal.
But you do, when we've been together, you say, don't tell people who approach you to go away, but when people do turn up, you're very pleased to see them.
My shin is full of bruises from saying, there's someone coming towards us. Mary then kicks me in the shins and says, be nice. Be nice. But I am naturally nice, but sometimes I'm in a bad mood.
No, it's attention-seeking, Nutty, because during COVID, when you went out with this mask on,
I get mood swings, Nutty.
Yeah, that's true. Food-related.
Yeah.
During COVID.
That's right, it might actually swing now because I'm having Coca-Cola.
When he went out during COVID with a mask on and a balaclava helmet, going to wait shows, and after a bit, if no one said, are you Giles from Gogglebox, I'd take off the balaclava. So he did that.
Well, it's the voice, isn't it? That's the giveaway.
Yeah.
That's the voice.
And Mary, repeated theme in your book is that you're desperate to get away from what you brilliantly call the grottage. It's in fact extremely lovely, thatched cottage, to go to London. So do you wish, 30 years ago, you left for Wiltshire, and have you regretted it ever since, have you?
I haven't really regretted it. When we first came to the village, there was a kind of wonderful facility, which was a big house, had very glamorous people, family of seven, all interesting. And the train took 59 minutes from Pusey to Paddington. But now it's 1 hour 28 minutes, and the family has left. But that was the initial attraction for us. But no, I am glad we went, because there isn't enough room in London, is there?
And Giles, you say...
I've noticed that when the village flooded the first time that we lived there, our car was getting higher, the water was coming up to the tyres, and I noticed all, we live in a long row of terraced cottages, I noticed all the inhabitants of the cottages' faces were looking round from the other end of the village to see if our car had been submerged. So there was quite a lot of hostility to begin with when we moved there, wasn't there, Mary?
Well, there was, because it was an estate village and everyone...
And that's why I think the film Straw Dogs was a very influential film and book. The book was called The Siege of Trenchard Farm, and I think that if anyone goes to live in a village in England, they really ought to see the film and read the book.
And
especially in Dorset.
Have the locals in your village warmed to you since you've become famous?
Yes, no, I cause a lot of trouble.
In what way?
Oh, any little thing.
Yeah.
I'm a troublemaker.
Like when you wanted that sign on your field saying insect reserve.
Yes.
And I said, don't put that up, because it might turn against you. You'd have to have insects in it. But he wanted to keep out the workers, you see.
I reported a local farmer for using the wrong sort of slug pellets, and I almost confiscated them.
But
the bag was too heavy. That's the only reason I didn't.
But Mary, you're in a difficult position because you're longing to go to London, but you can't drive, and Giles doesn't own a mobile phone, isn't that right?
Yes.
So how do you get him to pick you up from the station?
Well,
thereby hangs a tale. This summer, Mary was sitting on one side of the station under a cherry tree reading a book, and I was on the other side for half an hour. And I said, with everything I say to Mary, it's an initiative test. You could have come round and looked at all the car parking spaces, but you didn't.
Well, it was a misunderstanding, because he thought because I'd been in, Tiverton, it was a misunderstanding. He thought I was coming in on a different platform. But because he didn't have a mobile, I couldn't ring and say, where are you?
And I think, isn't it right, that, I mean, you're quite a sort of domestic brute, Giles, because, Mary, you're not allowed to shout at him in the house, are you? Is that
no.
Right? Or even creep up him in the garden, is that correct?
When I need him, he's in the 1 acre garden, and I'm not allowed to shout because it disturbs his reverie. So I have to go out and creep through the garden and come quietly up.
But the worst place for mental disturbance is the kitchen, because it's haunted by a poltergeist. But when Mary comes up behind me quietly and says something, I jump out of my skin. And I said, if you're coming towards the kitchen, you must say, I'm coming towards you, giving me some mental warning that
yes.
She's going to, because I live in a, well, I'm thinking very deeply about very difficult subjects like the Middle East, Ukraine, and all the difficult things that are happening to the world at the moment. As you know, I've got some very fixed opinions.
You have issues, yes.
But you see, we did have somebody called Georgia Coleridge, who is a energy cleanser, professional energy cleanser. She goes into properties that are on the market and estate agents can't shift them because people say, oh, don't like the atmosphere. And Georgia goes in at £75 an hour and cleans them. And then they sell. But
she's
she
like,
came...
I saw you coming.
And she came to our cottage because she'd written...
Mary saw her coming.
She wanted publicity and she went round and she said we were very lucky because there were only three spirits in the cottage, which was quite a low amount for such an old cottage. But there were, what were they called?
Perfectly harmless old man by warming his hands by the fire.
That was one of them.
She moved him on and he was perfectly happy there. That's how he's going to go to some dreadful
purgatory.
Yes,
she said there were elementals in the kitchen. cottage.
Yes, and she rang a bell, and we had to chase the elementals out of the cottage and into the garden.
The burning sage.
And I said, just to be clear about this, Georgia, are the elementals eating my food? And she said, no, they're eating the energy off the food. And I said, oh, that's a relief. Anyway, it's a madhouse.
And Giles, I think you're secretly quite like coming to London. I remember you coming to Christmas party of the Oldie magazine when the late Alexander Chancellor was the editor of his first Christmas party after the brilliant Richard Ingrams had departed, and you tapped me on the shoulder and said, there are many more celebs here in Richard's day. Sir Terry hasn't come this time. Sir Terry Wogan. So secretly quite like fame, don't you?
I was a bit of a two-faced coin. Sometimes it suits me if I'm feeling outgoing, but generally I'm not feeling outgoing.
Due to diet issues.
I do drink moderately, but it started to go up recently. So I now have one bottle of organic cider and a Moretti beer on top of that. And that's more than the Surgeon General recommends.
So Giles, you must be happy today, because in one of your columns you wrote that you're not really happy in Wiltshire, and your ideal county was none other than Dorset.
Dorset seems to
be very nice.
I think
I'm promising you did write that.
Yes, I did write that. I think Dorset's ideal. And I must say I'm very pleased with our first visit to Dorchester. I'm able to report that there was ample parking facilities. We could have gone to Waitrose, ample, and also the small and large car park. Very helpful. They said how many spaces there were. Mm. There were plenty of spaces, but I managed to get my car into a very, very tiny thing so that neither person on either side can get into that. That's what I mean about being a troublemaker. I look out for trouble. And then I put my wing mirrors in.
In fact, aren't you creating a volume of stories of people's misfortunes, which is getting ever larger?
Yeah. I'm the sort of person that stays in the outside lane of the motorway, going at 70 miles an hour to teach other people a lesson.
And Mary, you've written elsewhere that Gogglebox actually saved your marriage, is that right?
Well, yes, because I get up at 6. And
to avoid me, because I stay up till 2. That's how most marriages work.
Yeah. So
different holidays, different time scales. So we only actually ever meet for a salt-based snack at about 7 o'clock at Channel 4 News.
Well, that was when I watched the news.
Now I watch it all day.
And so what happened was I used to get up at 6 in order to have some peace to work while everyone else was asleep. And then Giles would get up 10 because he'd been up till 2 watching telly. And then he would have, you go out at 12 with the dog, and then I'd have lunch, because by then I'd been out for 6 hours. And then he went into the garden, so we didn't overlap until about 8:30 each night.
We're slightly diverted, Mary. Perhaps you could tell us how arduous it is to watch telly. Because as you said, you'll watch quite a few hours, and then it's edited down to the best bits.
They're not the sort of programmes we would normally watch. That's the thing, is that normally I'd watch things like Fake or Fortune, and the sort of things they show us is Mums Make Porn.
He doesn't mean that. But Giles sometimes has the wrong end of the stick and says, I'd like to see the programme Bendor Grosvenor on the Lost Terminus. Which wouldn't be appropriate.
They're not. No. It's not highbrow. I got the impression that I was a television reviewer like Sheridan Morley. And that's not what I'm hired for at all. So it's taken me quite a few years to realise that they're not hiring me for my, what's it called, connoisseurship and erudition. They're hiring me for my off-the-cuff remarks. And often those remarks are unpredictable.
But actually, now you've done it long enough that it's completely natural, because presumably you've got a big TV camera above the TV.
Yeah, no, 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 it's virtually invisible. But it's no different from, we're all being filmed all the time anyway.
Garages. Yeah.
Garages and supermarkets.
In fact, it was garages that gave me the idea of doing it.
Because?
You often get closed circuit television, and I looked up and waved at the camera. And I think that was the seed of the idea of being on television.
And, Giles, in this fantastic book, you also paint a very moving picture of your childhood in Kiel, Staffordshire, most famous for its eponymous service station.
Oh.
And you had a sort of a wonderful rural childhood, except when you were trying to make your poor brother Pip dyslexic. How did you try to do that?
Oh, well, that wasn't very nice. No, I resented him.
He was
his parentage. Anyway, he's so I was sent off to prep school at the age of 8 or 9, and my mother was cradling my younger brother in her arms. And that, you imagine, that would be very difficult to deal with, going to a cold prep school in North Wales, while my mother was holding the infant.
But before this, you've done this very...
So I made him pay for it when he was... But we made up for it when he was a grown-up. But I wasn't very nice to him. I must apologise.
Well, you did this very cruel thing as a little boy. You point up at the moon and
I
say,
tried to make
duck!
Him, I tried to make him dyslexic.
Yeah.
But that's... I feel ashamed about
it. But apart from that, it was actually a very rural childhood. That's where you got your very... You are a very, very knowledgeable countryman. It's where you got your knowledge of flora and fauna from.
I started to notice birds in the garden and became very keen on ornithology. And, yes. So I was also ill most of my childhood with asthma and bronchitis, so I just studied bird books. So I knew all the species before I actually saw them. And that stood me in good stead, because when I went to Australia with the oldie for 2 weeks, the ranger took us out and I could spot the outline of a kookaburra. Oh no, I got that from our stamp collection. Because when you have, it's not fashionable now, but when I was a young boy, we did stamp collecting. I don't know what they do now, I think they watch all sorts of things on the computer. But anyway, so it imprinted various, you know, Australia had pictures of kookaburras and all the different birds, and that was because I'd handled Australian stamps. So it sort of, fixates on your mind when your mind was receptive. Of course, my mind isn't receptive now.
And Mary, again, because in the book, I must explain, they do a segment each, jumping between the two of them. And you also describe a charming picture of your childhood in Larne in Northern Ireland, where although Giles sometimes says when you're having a row, calm down, Mary, it isn't the Troubles anymore.
Yes.
But then actually Larne...
She's put away the ways of violence since she came to the mainland.
But
since she stopped drinking, actually.
But Larne, you had this lovely, charming... Should you call it a provincial town rather than...
I must just point out that her house in Larne was opposite a funeral parlour. And Mary spent her whole childhood looking at the funerals, and so she's become very morbid.
Yes. Well, basically, we had a surgery in the house. To start with, as I was a child, so each time I...
Mary's father was a GP and
yes.
Grandfather, yep.
I would see people coming towards the house, patients coming in various stages of decrepitude. Opposite was a funeral parlour, and to the right was a church, so that all human life was kind of constantly being reminded. And...
But mostly corpses.
What do you mean?
Well, funeral parlour and funerals were the theme of your childhood.
And the thing was that this is why I'm over-vigilant, you know, because I've seen people rushing towards the house with bee stains going up, you know, or people with kind of wounds gushing. And so that's why I'm so sort of hyper-vigilant, really, about accidents, because I've seen so many of them. However,
I was just talking about your childhood. I think it also, you talk, because many people haven't been to Northern Ireland only think of the Troubles, but I go there a lot. People there are very kind and very, very funny, and I think you have those two characteristics. You have a brilliant description to describe Northern Irish ways in a conversation on the radio between
couple. The thing about Northern Ireland is, I'm not sure if it's the same that it was, because there was so little to do, it was fairly bleak, and socially, everyone was kind of good at telling stories, and everyone was good at conversation. They could always tell a story well.
It's called crake.
Crack.
Crack is something you have. It's not,
not in Dorchester.
Not crack. It's the Irish word for fun. And so I remember lots of my parents' friends would sort of start a story virtually. I mean, each sort of sentence was amusing. And
was that because they were drunk?
No, it's because they entertained themselves, you know, because there was a shortage of restaurants, dances, pubs, you know. Mm. And so people were very entertaining in general.
You described brilliantly life, lovely as it was a bit slow. You said at 9:30 you'd leave the house to go and watch people leaving the Regal Cinema in Lough.
Oh, yes, that's right. Because there was nothing going on. There was one cinema in the town. And all the young people whose parents hadn't kept them inside would go to watch the Regal getting out.
And there was one paedophile and everyone knew who he was.
There was two criminals, one paedophile and one drunk.
Yeah. So it's a small town.
Yeah.
And into this lovely, beautiful, idyll crept Charlesworth, you then complained it reminded you of Eastern Europe, is that right?
No. It had the awful lot of white plastic bags in the trees.
Yeah.
No one had taken the trouble to take them down for decades. So every all through the winter, they got these, because it's very blowy. And
I very much missed.
There weren't any English volunteers, litter wardens to take them down. I felt that that was something I should have helped with.
But the thing about Northern Ireland is it really breaks my heart that I can't live there. But as I grew up, the town expanded beyond sort of recognition and everyone I knew moved away.
Well, you wanted to go to the Bright Lights, didn't you, Mary?
I did, I wanted to.
And very foolishly, in the 1970s, you got onto a motorway with a miniskirt and a bottle of wine in one hand and a backpack. And I was amazed that you were all right.
Well, I didn't come to England that way, but I mean, I was so starved of excitement, I used to go to Belfast hitchhiking, stupidly, on my own, hitchhiking to Belfast and back. Well, I was fine, actually, but I shouldn't have been.
But it's correct that your mother banned Giles from coming to visit you, is that right?
What happened was,
I tended to break things in Mary's house.
Sorry, don't tell punchline.
No, but doors, you know how when you let someone else into your house, the clothes washing machine always breaks, or they don't realise that you can't force it open because there's a lock on it. And whenever someone else comes to a house, things, you know, doors that have lasted for ages fall off their hinges. And you could blame them and then charge them. But the same thing happened to us. When I went to your mother's house, I broke snibs. They call them snibs, don't they, Mary, in Northern Ireland. I kept breaking snibs.
So what happened was, he being on a visit, and then a few months went by, and she said, would you like to come with the children? And Nelly, that was the nanny, she said, but not Giles. And I said, why? She said, Andrew, too old for him. and then anyway, another few months went by.
But I used to point at fires and insist that they were lit.
Anyway.
And they hadn't been lit for years.
She did quite like Giles as well. And so then a few months more went by and she said, would you like to come for Easter? And Giles can come too this time. And I said, oh, have you forgiven him? I've granted him a fool's pardon.
Suck it up.
And you could see, Giles, while you were particularly concerned about the fire, because you were the heir to this industrial fortune which was making tiling for fires, is that correct? S.A. Wood and Sons?
My father had a factory, yes. Yeah. I didn't inherit it. Yeah. I thank heavens, because I didn't know as much call for fireplaces, because everyone was putting in central heating in the 1970s. And then Rachel Reeves would have got me in the end. So it was just as well. I wasn't cut out for ordering men around. There were slabbers and goodness knows.
You would have been cut out for undermining them and saying, don't put your feet up, wouldn't you?
I don't know, but I mean, it was a factory making fireplaces. And they were the ones that my father designed were absolutely hideous. They made lots of tiles, you know, the 60s. Yes. They're the ones that everyone levered out and then put pine surrounds instead. Beading was his thing. He liked ceramic beading.
But so you
Baxi fires, they're called.
You broke away and you began training as a rare job, a Byzantine mosaicist.
Well, that was one of the things. But yeah. The reason he had to sell the factory was because he had a mistress, and he modelled his relationship on his mistress with Richard Burton and Elizabeth Taylor. And he needed to get
very good looking, wasn't he?
Yeah,
with the mistress, good looking.
At the same time, in the background, Burton and Taylor was going on, and he needed to make extravagant gestures by going to London to Asprey's and buying her jewellery. That's why he sold Family Firm. And that didn't get into the book, by the way, but so there's a volume 3. Because now that we live in a victim culture, I can blame a lot of the things that have gone wrong on him. And he can't answer back.
But you are now a very well-known TV personality, brilliant writer and columnist for the Oldie, but your first love is as a brilliant artist.
I didn't think I'm a household name, Harry. Not like Gary Lineker.
You could replace him on Match of the Day, but anyway, you would call yourself, you're an artist, you're an extremely good artist.
Well, I was really an artist. That I want to revive, yeah. I don't know if I've got the brain cells left.
You have got them, you did two wonderful paintings in Italy.
By the way, if you look up Giles and Mary, and if you Google Giles and Mary and Mossad, there is a little footnote is that we're on Mossad's books, because we mentioned them in a very early episode.
What was it?
Pro or anti?
Nothing, it was a joke, but they took it seriously. They don't have a sense of humour in Mossad, not surprisingly. And there we are, we've got a little connection with Mossad.
Well, I'm sure we're all safe here.
And don't believe that the Iranians,
Giles,
when they shot the missile into the Mossad, towards the Mossad building, they did it deliberately. It didn't land short of it because they were not skilled. It was a warning shot.
Well, I bet you didn't know you were going to get into geopolitics.
I'm very interested in geopolitics.
So I'd like to say that I am an art lover, and my favourite artist is Giles.
Oh,
and if anyone wants to look on gileswood.com later, they'll see his wonderful works. And the thing about him is that...
Rolf Harris is a good artist.
Once he's got going,
cancel.
Once he's got going, he really.
I don't see why.
Darling,
he was part of our childhood, wasn't he?
Once Giles has got going, he loves it. Mm. And the trouble is getting him going, to the extent that I've often thought, you know, other people get personal trainers around for me. But then you'd say it's a waste of money. But so if I got somebody around to just make me start. Because you have loads of commissions, darling. But in any case, if anyone looks him up, they'll be delighted to see how genuinely talented he is.
He is an extremely good artist. But yeah. And Mary, to go back to your life, you, while Giles was becoming an artist, you left Larne, came to London, and started working the Tatler, is that right?
Well, she started reading the Ulster Tatler. And then there was only about 5 socially prominent people in Ulster. So that's why she got the idea that she wanted the Bright Lights to get a little bit more variety.
Is that accurate, Mary?
Well, I wanted to come because I'd seen about swinging London, you know.
Yeah.
And it seemed so exciting. And I just I didn't know, I was very naive, and my mother said on the day I was setting off, she said, but where are you going to stay in London? And I said, I suppose I'll just meet someone at the airport and make friends with them.
Yeah, and if you've seen that film Taken,
yeah,
you'll know that Mary's now watching Taken, and she was very lucky not to be taken. Taken 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah. Anyhow, to cut a long story short, I managed to... My mother's nephew, my cousin, was a vicar in Harrow, and she disrupted him and got him to come to the airport and meet me. He was furious and he put me out for a week. And then my aunt came down from the north and got me somewhere to live and a job in Liberty as a sales girl. And then one thing led to another. And then...
But you were locked in a cupboard with Thin Lizzy.
No, that was in the past.
Oh. Thin Lizzy got Mary in a cupboard.
All of them, or just Phil Lynott?
Just by Phil Lynott.
Yeah, amazing.
And that's a, thereby hangs a tale, but maybe there isn't time to tell.
No, there certainly is.
But anyway, so I came to London, and I was very lucky because I, in some ways lucky, because I met a girl in a pub whose parents, she lived with her parents in Chelsea, and I was able to move in with her, and I had a few years of social meeting people, basically.
And Tatler, then edited by Mark Boxer, is that right? What was actually extremely witty, sharp magazine, lots of clever, funny people working for it, is that right?
I was very lucky because Craig Brown, the writer, was sharing a flat with me and Giles at the time. And Craig was very talented, and he was only about 25, and he'd been snapped up by Mark Boxer to go and work in Tatler Writing. Sort of editing the Bystander, which were the party pages, and sort of making them lightweight and humorous. And anyway, Craig, on day one, he said, oh, it's really fun, Tatler. And he said, and Mark Boxer said to me, are there any other young writers like you, Craig, that we could get on board? And Craig had said, yes, Mary Killen. And Boxer said, I don't know her by line. Craig said, no, she's a typist, but I've read her diaries.
She's a typist in Putney, in a Putney typing pool.
Yes.
And she got a break. Yeah, not everyone gets a break. Not everyone gets a break in this life.
Including me,
you couldn't make it up.
And so I had read, because it was the days of electric typewriters, and I used to love the electric typewriters because they were so fast. And I could, in between taking dictation, I could type away and type my diary. And I'd got reams of diaries which Craig had read and said were funny. So Mark Boxer gave me a chance for 2 weeks to come into Tatler. And then I just got kept on.
Yeah, but you didn't always have such good luck, didn't you, work in a BD clinic?
As a secretary, yes.
Okay, good for people watching.
Yes.
As a temporary
secretary.
She didn't
always have a break. No, she came up the hard way.
And at this stage, I think Giles was living in a cottage that was so small that rather than calling it Longleat, you called it Shortleat.
Yes, it was a very. It was a middle of terrace cottage in Essex.
And what was it like? You both remember meeting each other for the first time. How do you remember her seeing Mary?
Yes, she was a costume model at Wimbledon School of Art.
Yes.
Not a naked model, I hasten to add. She wore eccentric costumes, and that's where we got to know each other. And then we had our weekends at my cottage in Essex, which we call Shortleat, which is a small version of Longleat. And it wasn't very nice.
No, it wasn't very nice. It was the only ugly village in the whole.
It was the only ugly village in East Anglia. East Anglia.
And Mary, do you remember first seeing Giles? Because actually, it comes as no surprise, like now, you were both extremely good looking.
Well, at the time, of course, I thought I was hideous. But, you know.
You look like. Who's that actress, Mary? You look like.
Piers Adora.
Piers Adora was one of them. And then the other one was.
And you look like Robert Redford.
No. Timothy Spall. Timothy Spall. No, I'm trying to think. Faye Dunaway. Mary did look like Faye Dunaway.
Anyway, this cottage in Essex was too small
And it doesn't last.
It was a lovely part of Essex, Suffolk. Well, I mean, Suffolk-Essex borders, Lavenham, there along Melford, etc. But our village wasn't nice. And the worst thing about it was there was one man in a single-engine plane who droned overhead all weekend and every weekend. And in those days, you couldn't go online and find out who was the person spoiling the rural camp. And then I was lucky.
Our rural camp, as you pronounce it, is even now being disturbed by a firing range on Salisbury Plain. So wherever you live in the country, there's often something that's going to bugger things up.
Yeah.
A mushroom farm or, an incinerator they're going to put up. And interestingly enough, in Dorset, I've got a book by Kenneth Allsop, who adopted Dorset, and he continuously tried to stop the industrial development of these counties. And in Cornwall, on the news yesterday, they said they're going to start mining for lithium so that we don't have to depend on the Chinese. Anyway, I digress.
We do digress. So you've got married, had two beautiful daughters, and actually, underneath it all, you're very happy, although you accuse Mary in the book of being socially aspirational. Is that
she
fair?
Is socially, she likes, I am downwardly aspirational. Yeah.
You call yourself little class, don't you?
Luckily there's a little only 20 minutes away. I'm in there most days of the week, in the central aisle. Fantastic bargain. I stood there for about half an hour, umming and ahhing. It was an inflatable paddle board. And I thought, shall I or shan't I buy it and go on the Kennet and Avon Canal the following day and try it out? And I didn't buy it in the end.
And this is particularly cruel because I think one of Giles' nicknames to Mary is bad by killing. He accuses you of...
She goes to Poundland.
I would say I was a good buy.
Buys batteries and then wonders why they don't work from Poundland.
No, it's true.
You have to get a man in with the fire stick on the telly.
It's true, actually.
It's because she'd used a Poundland battery.
But you're under constant siege from Giles, aren't you? Because he's so wary of you being lavish, you have to take charity shop stickers saying £2 on things that only cost £17.
Yeah.
There's a low scale war going on the whole time.
Well, you see, in Giles' family, the way things, when he was growing up, the way things panned out, instead of making money, the ethos was to save money. And so consequently, when I met him, his parents would get up at 4 in the morning to do the washing up because it was cheaper electricity.
No, the word work in our family was taboo. So they just got round it by saying getting money in.
Yes.
Or doing selling yen or whatever, but no one ever worked.
Well, they were very busy though. Busy. Your mother was very
busy. Yes, they
busy.
Were busy buying camping gas things that they put on top of the electric hob because they couldn't bear to waste the residual heat that was lost on a ceramic hob. So they put a camping gas on top.
And
heated
that.
Up soup and beans. Incidentally, thereby hangs a tale because I've started prepping Harry for. Do you know
for
what?
For Armageddon. For
no,
Starmageddon.
Well, no, it's before that, civil unrest. SHTF. Do you know what that means?
No.
Shit hits the fan. A lot of us are starting to prep, and the government is advising it.
What I particularly like buying
is really horrible things for prepping. I like buying spam, tinned chicken, things I wouldn't normally. I'm really looking forward to the grimness of the civil disorder. Because I've got some really disgusting food. One of them is Frey Bentos.
Oh, yes.
Oh. But then I thought, well, hang on, if there is an emergency and the government warned us that there might be an emergency, there won't be any electricity.
But not
so yet. How am I going to warm up the Frey Bentos?
Darling, as I said to James Dellingpole only the other day, Giles has stopped liking 1970s food, not because he actually likes the taste, but it reminds him
Moussaka.
Of when he was young. And therefore, life was
blue nun.
Ahead.
I do remember brands, Mary. Moussaka, Blue Nun, Lutimer Riesling, and Jacob's Creek. It's very nice. All of the things you can't get now.
Do you think Mary Giles does have a psychological problem? There are references to an Uncle Alan who had an unfortunate...
Yes.
There is.
You think
there was
a
lovely Bath unguent. I'm very keen on Radox, by the way. It's the cheapest, so you can go up and graze Badadas and various other things. But there was one in the 70s called Aquamanda. Does anyone remember it? And it was orange-scented. I think you could still get it. You'd probably get it in Dorchester.
Mary, you talk about a practice that Giles does called negging. Can you explain what negging is?
Negging is, it's something that a therapist specialising in neuro-labelled programming would deal with. It's when you get into the habit of being negative, and so instead of saying, like if I say to Giles, look what a lovely day it is in Dorchester, he would say, it's a pity it wasn't a lovely day the last time we came.
Or I'll say, it won't last. Because next week we're getting one of the worst typhoons to hit this country ever. You've said that I'm a half glass empty.
You are, I think you certainly are, yeah.
Nice to see a cross.
But
don't see many of those in Britain today.
Sorry, Mary, you're saying about the negging. How do you deal with the negging?
It's very exhausting because I might say, oh, look, we've had a letter from, and then name two really nice people who've sent an invitation. Why can't people leave us alone?
That's a perfectly good day ruined. Could be in little. Buying disgusting tinned meats.
My friend Louise has been to a neurolingual programmer who teaches you how to stop, get out of the habit of being negative and actually make yourself really happy by saying, isn't it lovely? I've got friends. Look at this lovely card they've gone to all the trouble of posting it. What fun that we're invited to things. Do you see what I mean? That's
well,
your life
not working, is it?
With the cost of stamps, no one will be sending no one will be sending Christmas cards, which is a relief.
Now I think we've got time for some questions. I think is there a mic or a any questions for Giles and Mary?
What prompted your interest in championing organic horticulture and agriculture?
My mother was a member of the Soil Association. Which I think farmers don't think much about, but so she actually met Lord Kitchener, who was an early before he started telling people to go to war.
No, it must have been after.
Afterwards, yes. Anyway, so she was an early member, and she got me onto it, into a sort of cult. And Lawrence Dean Hills was a great vegetable grower, as you know, and his book, which is published by Faber, is so good, and it's so good to read, and it's inspiring. I'm very bad, and I've got worse each year of growing vegetables. My vegetables are knobbly, and they always have something wrong with them, and usually a slug in the middle of them. But it's a triumph of hope over experience, basically. But I've discovered a vegetable I enjoy growing called kohlrabi, which looks like a little space alien, and they're delicious, really delicious. Even I couldn't even manage to grow those, but I think I may have something that you get club root. I think I may have got club root now. I've been growing brassicas in one place for too long. But I have got myself a greenhouse for the first time. By the way, the greenhouse brand that I'd like to promote is called, what's it called, man? Rhino. Rhino. You have to pay a little bit extra. But on their advertising slogan, you've got a man, a very fat man, sitting on the top of the rhino because it's so strong, it can even support the obese.
Fantastic. Any other questions for Giles and Mary? Lady in the front row. Lady just here, sorry.
Hello.
I love watching you two.
Oh, thanks.
I laugh with you and I cry with you. You get so invested emotionally when things are sad. And if I feel sad, I watch you do it, and it makes me feel so much better. How did you get on to Gogglebot? What made you think, well, this will be a good idea to do? And also, just as an add-on, the Oldie magazine, my mother lives in West Wales, and I'm not the sort of person that sits on the toilet and reads magazines, but she's always got it in the bathroom. So the first thing I do when I go and visit her, she has got a chair in there, is go into the bathroom and read the Oldie magazine.
Oh, that'd be wonderful. Well, you can have one which you could read in the comfort of your own bathroom.
Oh, I might not put an end to it after all. Not by the conventional means, which is to interview people in motorway service areas.
They do street casting normally. They spend hours because, anyway, what happened was a friend of ours lives next door to the man who owns the studio that makes it. And
Nepotism.
One night.
Like Lily Allen is the daughter of
Keith Allen.
Keith Allen. Yeah. There's lots of them.
One night.
Daniel Day-Lewis is the son of
Cecil.
Anyway, one night she had this man to dinner, and she said, "How's Gogglebox?" He said, "A complete disaster. One of the families has dropped out." And she said, "You can easily get, there's a queue around the block of people who'd like to be on it." And he said, "No, but we only want people that don't want to be on it. That's the thing." Because they don't want show-offs.
Still
I mean, we are show-offs, obviously, but they don't want people promoting stuff and everything. And she suggested that he met us, because earlier that day she'd been to our cottage and she was very amused because Giles and I sat behind each other instead of side by side.
Yeah.
And that was because of the draft, you see. Anyway.
Although you have a log fire and it's cosy, the amount of cold air it draws in once you've lit it counteracts the heat. So it's like being, you know, when you get in a Ryanair flight and you get near the jet engine and it's hot. Well, ours is like cold.
So anyway, my friend rang up and said, "Oh, I told Stephen Lambert to ring you." I said, "Well, thanks, but I've never wanted to be on television. I couldn't bear the idea of the invasion of privacy and all the weirdos watching me, that kind of thing." And she said, but he's very nice and you should, anyway, he
ran. Mary doesn't do brevity. She doesn't, because she's Northern Irish,
so
and that's where they're all
sitting
around the coal fire listening to him.
So Stephen Lambert rang me to ask me to audition, and I said, "I'm really sorry, I don't want to be on, thanks very much, though." And then he rang every day, because he wanted people that didn't want to be on. And when I told Giles
didn't want show-offs.
When I told Giles about it, I had literally known him for about 40 years and I had no idea that he wanted to show off. And he said, "Oh, I think we should definitely do it." And I said, "Why?" Anyway, in the end...
Yes, because I'd done a little slot on Radio 4.
And you'd enjoy
and
it.
And I'd enjoyed the attention, yeah.
So
what it was on Radio 4 was, they said, they interviewed me about being a hypochondriac.
Yeah.
And I said that if you have extra strong mints, every minute of the day you're swallowing an extra strong mint, you won't get an infection.
Anyway,
not
that's
very
bad. So it went on for a few weeks, and then I let them do an audition, because it's very cheap to do, you know, it's a very cheap show to make, so they came to do an audition.
And the reason why it's cheap.
And they said they would like us to be on, and I said the only way I'll be able to do it, because he wanted to be on, is if I don't have to be on social media, because I'm very upset by the trolling. So they said, "Well, we'd like you to be on social media, all right then, you need to be on it." So. We've no idea what rude things are said about us, and if we did, we probably wouldn't be able to go on.
But they didn't. To begin with, they didn't like us, the other people, well, and the public at large. It took us a bit of time. And gradually, people said, "You know, that posh couple, they're not so bad as I thought." But in fact, we're not posh at all. If you saw the way we live in our cottage and the conditions in the kitchen, and we had a little explosion last week, I didn't tell you, Harry, because the only way to get the gas up and going is by propping a piece of wood against the knob. which keeps the gas going, otherwise it goes out. This is my little form of protest against AI, because the cooker stopped working because it got too hot. So I said, I'm not going to let this cooker get the top on top of me. So I now put a piece of wood against it, which is fine until you forget to light it, and then the gas builds up. Last week I lit it having been on for 10 minutes, and it literally went up 2 feet and landed on down.
You've got time for one more question. Is there a question? Yes, the lady over here.
A little bit earlier, you were talking about Charles's relationship with his poor brother, Pip. And you hinted that he tried to take you to sex, but never quite found out how.
Yes.
But you were telling an anecdote in which you said you looked up at the moon and said, "Gammon, we could be here."
He said, "Duck."
So Giles, in teaching his brother
the wrong words,
how to speak, and look up at the moon and go, "Duck," in order to confuse
Paul Pitt. It didn't work, though, because he's got a very well-paid job in the West End, and a very successful surveyor he is.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a good place to draw an end. And actually, the secret is that they love each other very much. Thank you all for coming. Thanks so much to Giles and Mary.
Yeah.